Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hi. You're rolling with Jason and John, all of us, 92.9 FM ESPN. Welcome to your Tuesday, August 3rd. We got plenty to get to today. Including free agency was fun last night, wasn't it? And it continues, but there was a big buzz as it opened up. No question about it, Kyle Lowry's moving on. Miami Heat, Chris Paul's going back. Mike Conley's going back. My Bulls were active. I don't know if it's going to help a damn thing. They may still be in the basement of the East when this thing's all said and done. They better be a playoff team next year with Alex Caruso, the savior, along with Lonzo Ball. I guess I got my guy, huh, John Martin?
Yes. Caruso's not a bad player.
Man, stop.
He is not a bad player.
You've basically crowned him an all-star. You've done this before, so don't act like you're going to get me giddy about getting Caruso. Caruso and Ball backcourt? Is that going to save us with Zach on the wing? Vucevic?
Y'all will make the playoffs.
In the East.
Y'all make the playoffs.
This is Lonzo's chance to make that all-star game I once told you.
Thad, y'all still got Thad up there, right?
Yeah, he's fully guaranteed now. He's back. He's going to help the young ones.
Yeah, Lonzo, Zach, I mean, Green Thumb, right? Green Thumb still up there?
Who?
The gardening dude likes to plant flowers?
He sure is still up there.
Yeah, you got Dr. Green Thumb up there.
Patrick.
Yeah, Pat Williams, that's his name.
Yes.
Somebody should tell him. He's in the greenhouse right now. He probably doesn't even know that Lonzo and Caruso are signed up.
No, he knows.
He's proud of his crepe myrtles.
We're going to make a push for the sixth seed next year.
Yeah. What piece of gardening are you most proud of in your home? Everybody has something, right?
Piece of gardening?
Yeah. Like, is there like a plant or a bush you like?
My wife just planted a sunflower. Grew to 9 feet tall, John.
Okay.
Believe that or not. Much like the ones over at Shep Farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9 feet tall.
How about
this? We just took all the sunflower seeds out. It took about an hour.
In our backyard, we have a peach tree. Yeah. A real peach tree.
Didn't expect to open here, but that's fascinating.
Patrick Williams is fascinated by that as well, and he's impressed.
He was fine his rookie season. Lay off him.
Yeah, and then y'all have Coby White, so y'all be fine. Y'all be a playoff team. But
it's not the Bulls show, is it?
This is not ESPN 1000, bro. What's next? You going to break down how the defensive linemen look at Soldier?
I'm going to let you know what we've been seeing with Justin Fields on the practice field here early on. Looks pretty good, John.
Won't matter.
Yeah, well, maybe so. It will at some point this season.
No, it won't. I mean,
here's my favorite thing.
I saw a TikTok, okay, at Bears training camp.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was Lizzo.
And Matt Nagy comes out, right? And the fans are like, woo, man.
I don't know why they did that
for
him.
And I'm like, y'all got some nerve. Because y'all know y'all can't stand that man. But when he comes to your face and you're in the building, you act like you love him.
They were capping.
But by week four, y'all going to be ready to fire him. And he may be fired by week four.
Those fans were capping.
Anyway,
the Chicago Bears.
We got a big show planned for you today. Because we have a decision date. A decision date is in for Jalen Duren, the number one player in the country, in the class currently of 2022. That will change because he will not be in the class of 2022. He will be in the class of 2021, which means he will be, if he attends college, on a college campus next season. So we will get into that. Memphis is a finalist along with Miami, along with Kentucky, along with the G League, and along with, for some reason, the NBL. So we will get into all of that today. Is he coming to Memphis? What are we hearing? We'll get into all of that today here on the show. Jessica Benson's going to join us at 11:25. She is not going to be able, unfortunately, to talk about free agency.
What? She can't, right? Nothing's official yet.
Yes, but she will be able to talk about other agencies, like the Central Intelligence Agency, the Environmental Protection Agency, along with any other agencies that you could possibly think of.
That'll help us.
Yes.
She can talk about that trade, right? She can talk about Jonas and Zaire.
Yes, oh, that's for all sure. Yes. So we'll get into all of that with her. And maybe some conference realignment thoughts, too, because her father used to be a conference commissioner in the WAC. So she probably had many times and many nights where her dad was stressing out about something. So we'll get into all of that with her at 11:25. Then at 1:25, we're going to be joined by Adam Finkelstein. Adam Finkelstein is based in the Northeast. Jalen Duren is not from Philadelphia.
I did not know that until you told me today.
Yeah.
He went to high school in Philly.
He might at some point, maybe.
Yes, it's right across the river there, Delaware.
Before Mont Baird.
Well, fair enough. Everything in the Northeast is basically the same state, right? It's just one big-ass state.
It's about 40 minutes.
Yeah. That's a good enough point. But he's from Delaware initially. Plays for Team Final, which is based out of Philly. So I think a lot of people do think he's from Philly.
He was at Roman Catholic before Mont Verd was the high school.
And now he's in Florida at Mont Verd, right?
Mont Verd.
Yeah. You just call whatever you want, man.
Mont Verdy.
This is my second day back. I can't tell you what to do, man. You know, you did a month. You earned the right to call it whatever you want.
You dang right.
It's honestly, like, Jason said you can say whatever the hell you want.
That's right. It's like me and Linear. Right.
Little old Bob Lanier.
I got to stop before I say that word.
Right.
Like my brain.
You have to focus.
You know, I'm like Joe Jackson, you know, like fast feet, slow mind, like no disrespect. But that's what they said. Anyway. So we're going to talk to Adam Finkelstein at 1:25 about the Jalen Duren recruitment, his game, what he would bring to Memphis. What's he hearing? How would he handicap it? He would know because he was on the Peach Jam broadcast.
He was there the whole time, I think.
Yeah, my man.
Peach Jam was longer than usual, you know.
Yeah,
the first part, then the second part is like 2 weeks.
I can't even imagine. I mean, we did the Peach Jam once, and it was just like by the second or third day, you're just like, dude, it all feels the same.
You coming to Memphis? Okay, bye. That's how it was.
That is.
Especially by year four, year five.
You laugh, Brad, but what's really funny about our trip to the Peach Jam is we profiled every player and none of them went to Memphis. Like literally every player that we talked to. And that's not because of us. That's because of Josh.
The biggest waste of time was Kelly Oubre.
Kelly Oubre, I remember you talked to him in a scrum in the front of the gym.
Memphis.
Yep.
Man, okay.
Remember we did Rondae Hollis Jefferson?
That one we actually made into something because we talked about how he's from the same place as Tyreek.
Yes.
And it was a good – that was actually your idea.
Yes. We did that one.
He did not come to Memphis.
You won't remember this one, but Lou Rawls Nairn, remember him?
Lou Rawls Nairn, I do.
Lou Rawls?
Didn't we do Cliff, too, at one point?
You probably were on the Cliff beat, man.
Cliff Alexander?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to him, by the way? We're getting too far off topic.
He wasn't very good, I don't think.
He is not in the league.
No.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Is he playing overseas somewhere? Got to be as big as he was.
Well, Raby's in the TBT. Who knows?
Finals tonight, by the way.
Yeah, finals tonight. Anyway, so we're going to talk to Adam Finkelstein about all of that at 1:25. That is the show today. Looking forward to it. Decision day to set. It's going to be Friday. We don't have a time. I don't think he had a time.
I thought there was. It was that evening.
Was it?
I'll find that while you're talking.
Jalen Duren not to do it during
our between
show.
5 p.m. 6:30 p.m. Central.
Wow. A little
range there.
I don't know if people are familiar, but typically the way it works is when you commit to Memphis, you're supposed to do it at 11 o'clock.
Those days are long behind us.
That's what Precious Achiuwa did, okay? That's what Precious Achiuwa did.
Who got traded, by the way?
James Wiseman did it. When he committed to the University of Memphis.
We got to get that restored.
It's just sort of the tradition when you're a five-star kid, you know, you do it during our show. We'll work with them. We'll get with these people. But Jalen Duren is going to make a decision. Memphis, Miami, Kentucky, NBL, and the G League. We'll ask Adam Finkelstein what he thinks. Obviously,
everybody listening now want to know what you think.
Well,
yes.
In terms of which part, where he's going.
Yes.
Well, what I can tell you is, Memphis thinks he's coming here.
I think that's been the vibe here for a little while.
And that has not changed, right, as of last night.
And doesn't Miami as well feel really good about it, having with his grassroots in high school?
You know, I think it's a little more ambiguous in Miami.
What's that guy's name, by the way? All we ever say is his old grassroots.
DJ Irving, yeah.
And you're a little closer to this.
Yeah. I know some people who are familiar with the Miami side of things.
Yes.
And they're sandbagging me a little bit. Maybe they're trying to keep it, because I think this recruitment is very close to the vest.
Didn't you say yesterday on the air that Miami sees Memphis as the biggest threat?
Yeah, that's yes, they okay. do. Okay. And somebody I talked to yesterday who's close to it said, I honestly have no feel, which in their words were, that might be a bad thing, but who knows?
Can we say the feel ain't for Kentucky, that they feel
good? No.
So we, okay.
No, I don't think so.
Two are ahead of them.
Yeah, Kentucky has okay, not good. Well, has not felt like a real threat for quite a while. I mean, they just have too much of the same thing, you know, and they're after other players and things like that. I think a lot of people assume once Kobe Coburn stayed at Illinois, that would open things up for Kentucky, but it appears to not be the case. The Memphis pitch is twofold. Mm-hmm. One is you get an opportunity to play in front of me, which is the most important thing. As a member of the media here, you get a chance to play in front of me, and that is very difficult to turn down. But the second part is...
John didn't sit under the humble tree while he was gone, did he, Brad?
No.
The second part of that, though, is, and what might be more important to Jalen, is the opportunities at Memphis. Not just on the court, you know, with the staff and who you'd be working with every day, but also potentially, right, financially. This is, and it's like you bristle at it because... It's so fresh and new. You know, we're not used to talking about recruitments as openly. Like Will Wade, usually we reserve that for Will. You know, he's the one talking about strong ass offers. But now it's true. Like every school, every major school in a recruitment like this one is making promises in terms of endorsements and NIL and things like that. Memphis is going to be no different in this case.
Saw Miami on the football side where they're handing out money.
Yeah, Miami is absolutely. I mean, I think you know every player for the football team gets like.
Was it $500 or $600? Remember, we talked about the story in Rundown.
Is it $600?
It's monthly.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's a lot of money for a kid.
And that was a booster, basically, yeah. Much like your story today we'll get to. But it was a booster, basically, forming a new company to support the program and basically paying the guys because he wants to support the program.
Yeah, and so, like, Miami's going to have that foundation. It hasn't happened yet in Memphis, right? Like, there hasn't. I guess I would say I maybe expected there to be more of a coalition of local businesses that just jumped in immediately because, like, this is a passionate, it's a small but very passionate community, and we know the boosters at Memphis. I think maybe they're waiting a little while just to see sort of what the landscape looks like, but I have no doubt that when you're, it doesn't matter if you go to Memphis, Miami, Kentucky, Eastern Michigan, Timbuktu, if you're the number one player in the country or something like him, and you have a following, you will get endorsements, you know, body armor. I'm throwing these out, you know, whatever. Like some company is going to pay you to post about their product.
And it's made it more attractive, obviously, and I think put colleges in a better position, obviously. But it's not the one point, you said two yesterday, it's not the 1 million, that the G League's giving you, right? I mean, Nick Saban's quarterback's close to $1 million, hadn't played a game yet. Okay, that's Alabama football.
Yep.
We're not it's not quite there, surely, right? You don't have 1.2 million at this point to give him, but clearly whatever you have has made it a more attractive option.
Correct. And I think again, somebody somewhere, whether it's local, national, whatever, would step up, you know, for Jalen Duren. So I think Memphis certainly has made that clear, but I also think too The presence of Penny is could be the determining factor in this too. You know, I mean, I think it's not just the NIL because Miami can quite frankly promise the same things. Some people like I read a story yesterday where Miami is actively trying to become quote unquote NILU. Like they want to make it. There's a group of people that want to make Miami like the destination for if you want to make the most money. Kind of Miami. Can they be that? I don't know. I mean, I honestly feel like Memphis should have just as many advantages as Miami when it comes to things like this because there's money in this community and they love the Tigers. So I feel like there would not be any distinct advantages there. In this case, Penny is so actively involved, and now you've got a staff of Larry Brown, of Rasheed Wallace. I mean, the development, you know, immediately that you would get at Memphis, I mean, it's you can't compare this staff to anybody else in the country. It's just a fact. Just the assortment of characters. Somebody asked me today, who would you? There is no comparison for Rasheed Wallace, Penny Hardaway, and Larry Brown. You kidding me? It's unprecedented, this group of people, this group of characters. And I think absolutely it has made a real impression on Jalen Duren and his family. Now, again, I'm going to be very careful because this is a high-profile recruitment, and I think we live in an age of great posturing. Like I could even see a kid committing to a school, right? on Friday, and then a month later, going to the – that's what Deshaun Nix did for UCLA, right? Mm-hmm. He ended up going to the G League, even though he was committed and signed to UCLA. So
and should have gone to UCLA now.
This could all be, you know, one big posture. You can never rule that out.
Well, Miami's got the advantage of having the – I mean, the grassroots coach is there, and we've seen situations where it hasn't worked out, like Faraji pointed that out, and trying to get Matthew Morrell to Vanderbilt. But typically, that's the thing for you. I mean, Cade Cunningham's brothers at Oklahoma State, you get Cade Cunningham. I mean, again, you have to figure that Jalen Duren and that coach are tight. They've been at the high school, the grassroots level together. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Miami needs to have the inside track, don't they? Having made that move, you got NIL just like Memphis has got NIL.
Yes,
you should feel like you've got the advantage in the fact that on your staff is one of Jalen's coaches.
That's correct.
That says I think it says a lot about. Clearly Memphis' pitch.
Yes.
That even with that, you know, that you're right there.
Yes.
It feels like at least at the door.
I mean, that's at bare minimum. Memphis is right there at bare minimum. You know, some people would tell you that Memphis is in the lead. Some people would tell you.
It's hot. So that guy's out of a job after a year. Why the hell are you going to keep him?
He doesn't get him, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk to Adam Finkelstein about what he thinks of that piece of it. You know, for Memphis, it's interesting because I'm sure – if you watched the Peach Jam, there were some who came away unimpressed. Not necessarily unimpressed, but just when you hear the number one player in the country and you watch them in the Peach Jam, you wouldn't have necessarily said, a number one future draft pick, right? But I think for Memphis basketball, next season, this guy would be a perfect freaking player. Like, he is – if he doesn't go to Memphis, they'll still be they still should be a tournament team. They still should make the tournament. Mm-hmm. But if you get this kid, I mean, he takes you to a different tier. He takes you to a different category. Because even though he's a freshman, like, dude is physically prepared. He's ready. I mean, you see him. Like we said yesterday, he looks like Joey Dorsey as a senior. Because he does.
He looks older.
He does.
Because he's so physically cut.
Yeah. And I don't think
mature.
There's not going to be any sort of physical adjustment for him.
Oh, it's AAC basketball. Ain't gonna kill.
Well, I mean,
AAC.
Yeah, but I mean, it is.
He got a solid non-conference schedule next year. But stop. I mean, that guy in the AAC for the most part, 18 games.
Yeah,
he's gonna dominate that league.
Yeah,
his size.
Yes, and he's such a an unselfish player. You know that I think he just makes you better in every sense of the word. You know, and I'm not saying he's gonna come in and be the freshman of the year. Although if Musa can do it, I certainly think he.
Well,
can
you
do
didn't
it.
Run. You didn't run anything from Musa.
Right.
Do you run? You run some stuff.
Yeah,
for
I think
Jalen
more
Duren.
So for sure. Yeah, because he's more gifted in that sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Musa was a guy who you wouldn't want making any kind of real decisions.
Duren wouldn't necessarily be in the anchor of your offense though.
Right.
Because
no,
of what you bring back and so much on the perimeter clearly. But would you throw it down to him as opposed to where Musa was just, hey, go get the put back, stick it back, because we saw what happened when you threw it down to him. It was absolutely raw. It's like uncooked meat.
Correct.
So you would have the advantage there.
That's not Jalen's problem.
I'm just you're talking about fit here.
Yes.
A much better fit, certainly offensively, than Musa Cisse was
and look,
for the Tigers
I mean,
last year. And he shoots his free throws well.
Oh,
so a night and day change from that, too, where you
– great form.
You keep him on the floor there at the end of games.
Rick Barry would be proud.
Your starting center.
Yeah.
No, he wouldn't, because it's not underhanded.
It doesn't have to be underhanded, does it? Is that the only way he would like it if it's underhand?
Yeah, Rick's suggested all the bigs go underhand. He didn't like it. You try to.
Nobody would do that ever.
He doesn't need you if you're hitting everything 79% on a regular shot.
Yeah.
Rick Barry trying to help you shoot it under.
But Jalen knows who he is. He's an unselfish guy, great teammate, a winner. You know, these are things that would make a massive, sizable impact for the Memphis roster next season. You know, look, like you said, they're not going to make him the fulcrum of the offense. He's going to be, you know, a piece. But, you know, he's going to do a lot of the small things that add up. I mean, when I watch him, you almost always feel like, man, there's got to be more there. There's got to be, like, more on the table that he's not necessarily given right now. But I also think a part of that is because the game comes pretty slow to him. Like, I think the game is pretty easy for him. And sometimes that'll leave you a little underwhelmed. Like, I saw some people tweet from the Peach Jam. But, I mean, I think he would be an amazing player for Memphis basketball with what they have on this roster. I mean, I know people like are probably jaded at this point because we do this every single year, it feels like. But you get this kid, second weekend, should happen.
Well, he's still playing for Penny Hardaway.
He still can't play point guard, John.
Still, they got Landers Nolly, Les Quinones, DeAndre Williams, Earl Timberlake, provided he is healthy. This young man, come on. What are we waiting on here?
There's really no way you can screw that up if you're A-Lo. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Like, not to a point where it keeps you outside of a tournament or where you're trying to go with a team that talented.
Yeah, and look.
Because you're not going to be one of the worst teams, surely not one of the worst teams in the country from a turnover standpoint with that staff you got now.
Yes.
And as big of a problem as it's been for you. Clearly you've had to address it. I mean, yes. It's been the priority. Got to clean that up. It's killing you. Free throw shooting, you know, that's one thing or another. You throw more, you know, by the time the season starts, all that work doesn't matter. It's where your head is at that point. But that point about cleaning things up, we're not going to be, you know, just completely reckless and careless with the ball, that's got to have been the priority since the season, since the NIT ended last year. And so you're not going to let that be your Achilles heel, certainly, again. Not with that staff. Surely not.
I would also argue.
So it's almost too much talent.
I would also argue that. You know, look, if you're going to go to college and you're not going to go to the G League, and I know people are saying the G League is out or not necessarily in front. I am just never going to count out.
They could up the money.
Exactly. Like, you just can't do that.
For Jalen Green. I mean,
but I'm here.
Offer he can't refuse.
I'm hearing from several sides. It is not, but, you know, until he's in a uniform at Memphis or Miami or whatever, like, I just don't think you can ever close that door completely. But one of the pitches that I would really make is if you're going to make the decision to go to college and you're going to go for the year, where do you have the most chance and the most opportunity to do what everybody wants to do, which is win a championship and go deep in the tournament? Is it at Memphis or is it at Miami? Now, Miami has kept some players and they've done some things, but, I mean, the reality of the situation is you're in the ACC in Miami, and while that does have a great profile that accompanies it, like, you're going to get your head cracked in some nights. You know, that's the way it is. Memphis can dominate in the AAC if Jalen Duren is on that roster. They should, quite frankly. I mean, I'll give you an L to Houston and maybe a random one thrown in there, but any more than that, I would feel like is a stretch with that damn roster.
Well, that other random better not be Frank Haith in Tulsa.
Well, you can chalk that one up. You can just
those days are over.
You can pencil that one
Larry in. Brown ain't letting that happen.
So, I mean, I feel like that's the thing. It's like if we acknowledge that the money can be the same, if you're going to make, you know, $500,000 at Memphis and you're going to make $500,000 at Miami, well, one staff's got Penny Hardaway and Larry Brown and Rasheed Wallace and a nice track record of draft picks in the last several years, right?
Yeah, legit.
Or you can go to Miami and it's a little bit more of a your guy is there, right? Your former coach is there, but they don't have that same track record necessarily and – there's some unknowns with the roster. I mean, I think it's a compelling case for Memphis, and that's why they are where they are. That's why they are in the mix here, more so than Kentucky and right there, if not ahead of Miami. So
10-17 last year, Miami was.
I mean, that's a tough one to come off of.
Lost to Georgia Tech in the ACC tournament.
Now, of course, Miami might in return say, well, you're not even going to play in the – you might be a better team, but you're not even going to be in the tournament. You can't even play in the tournament next year. But that's unknown. That's not a necessarily decided thing. We don't know that there's going to be a.
No, it could be completely
command.
False.
Yeah, so
it could be.
Now I'm sure they're saying that. If I had to guess, I'm sure they're.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you're Miami. Oh, they don't know what's going to happen over there.
I'd be making up all kinds of things. I'd be because you don't know.
Like, tell them Larry going to be asleep anyway. You ain't going to be coached by you. You're going to be asleep.
Yeah,
that's what Miami be negative recruiting.
Yeah,
they had all kinds of stuff poking holes.
I'd be making things up because until it's out there, you can make up whatever. Like a creative writing store.
Larry Nega's not like that, is he?
I don't know. I mean, I think this is a high stakes game, man.
I know you're gonna do dirty. Whatever you gotta do.
It's gonna get dirty, in that sense. But look, all I can say is that once again, Memphis has put itself in a great position to land a high caliber recruit that that is not from Memphis, that was not coached by Penny Hardaway in high school or AAU. But is that current in the current rankings number one in the country? I don't think I would have even imagined this when Penny got the job. Like I in 2021. I mean, because
what I would not have imagined is that he could still be successful outside of Memphis, having not made a tournament now 4 years in.
Like one, yeah,
that you could still keep yourself that hot, keep your brand strong. In this case, he's building on it. Whether you want to talk about what he's done with the staff or whatever else, but if you had told me before Penny was hired, right before you'd be going to year four, don't have a tournament appearance yet, and still going to be looking at top players in the country that aren't from Memphis, I'd have said no, it didn't work. I would have said no, it didn't work because that just doesn't. that doesn't happen around here. But again, you're talking about a guy who was a celebrity beforehand, would be NBA Hall of Famer,
exactly.
Got his own signature shoe lines. It's different for Penny
yep.
than it would be for anybody else. And so it's frankly, it considering the lack of postseason success, now you did win an NIT tournament, you're looking to build on it, but you're measuring the NCAA tournament, you know, appearances around here. It's remarkable that he's still in this position. But a lot of it's the power of Penny, what you've done now with the staff. You got to think Larry has helped with this. Not
yes.
going to close it. You know, to be in this position still, you don't have a tournament appearance on your belt. You know, pretty impressive. Still, you've got to get the tournament appearance.
Because one of the concerns that I just had initially, and it was just a question. It was like, okay, well, once Penny's tentacles sort of, you know, his grip loosens up right on kids that he coached.
The guys that he
personally.
Already had, yes, right. Especially in that first cycle.
You know, cause
yes,
you,
exactly.
You get those kids because you had them, right? The DJ Jeffries, the James Wisemans. Now, you still got to go out there and do it so you get credit for that, but you have the inside track, right?
Yeah, you already have the relationship.
What was it going to look like when that changed? And look, I mean, they did get Artario Morris committed. He ended up going to Texas because right. That's what everybody does now. They just go to Texas with Chris Beard.
No, that's a good situation.
Didn't you draft Chris Beard in our
yes.
That
was his best pick.
It really was. Yeah.
It was my first and best, I thought.
Because then after that, you had Jack Flaherty, right?
Well, it was sort of like the Grizzlies. Ooh. You have a firm pick, and then you go with, a flyer guys. Ooh. You know, you go firm with flyers.
Yes, yes. But Chris Beard, that is what everybody does nowadays. They just go to Texas. But, you know,
he's got a program going. It's a lock. It's a lock at Texas.
I mean, I'll be honest. With everything they got, they should be in the conversation for a championship next
yeah.
season. I mean, I'd be disappointed if they're not in the Elite Eight Final Four. Anyway, the question was, how's that going to look? And Penny has proven that whether it is a guy like Artario Morris, whether it is a guy like, Jalen Duren and Bates, et cetera.
Lonnie Bates.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Memphis is still just as relevant. And that was not a guarantee, folks.
No.
That was not a given.
Especially, like you said, after that first cycle was over, you're trying to get players who,
yeah.
you know, again, without a tournament appearance
yes.
behind you. So just like John said, Miami's going to be saying, well, wait a minute. They don't even make the you know, that's not easy to do when you don't have that, you know, that cachet of tournament appearances to show these guys, oh, hey, yeah, we're proven. What you do have is the NBA development and those players.
Yep.
You've got a staff now that would look like an NBA staff. And you're hoping, I mean, look, you're not hoping. It's got you right there at the door. You know, it's got you right there at the precipice of landing this kid and maybe changing completely your ceiling on this upcoming season.
Absolutely.
How high it can go.
So, anyway, that is
a buzz up in here on Friday.
Oh, buddy. Yeah, I mean, we're going to
all day it'll be a little bit of a buzz.
We're gonna have to wait.
So, like the Wiseman buzz, or has there been one since
Wiseman,
then?
Wiseman was different because Wiseman was here in Memphis. Wiseman was like, you know, the beginning, you know. Like, that's what really...
This is a guy who's going to be a lottery pick, and you could
argue,
one of the top players in his class. It's not
but
quite...
The
he didn't have the local ties.
The excitement
surely.
For Wiseman was, like, all-time high type stuff, in my opinion. I don't know if you agree with that, but, like,
Well, everything was chained around him, too, let's be real. And Penny
yeah.
talked about that. He was the anchor
yes.
of that class. Everything's...
Yes.
So there was that excitement. You've already built your team. Jalen is sort of
up.
The... Jalen would be the cherry on top. Even more,
exactly.
But it's a big old cherry, though.
It's a huge cherry.
A cherry that changes exactly the entire eating experience that dessert.
No doubt.
But it's not formed around it.
Exactly.
Like your team was around James Wiseman, like you were recruiting, hoping you were going to get Jalen Green.
Exactly.
It's not the same in that aspect.
Well, anyway, Memphis has done what they can, you know, to put themselves in great position to land currently the number one player in the class of 2022. He'll reclassify.
Yeah, he won't be and one in 20.
Join next season. He won't be number one.
Top
but,
10, though, right?
Oh, I think certainly top five, top 10. And so you take that young man, especially when he's as physically ready as he is,
mm-hmm.
you take that man every single time. Will be interesting. We'll know Friday. We'll know before Friday, but we'll know officially on Friday. We'll come back. Jessica Benson going to join us on the other side. We will talk to her about the Grizzlies draft, a little college football. Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
Broadcasting live from the 2021 WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational Tournament at Southwind.
92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis' golf station with Giannotto and Jeffrey live all week from 2 to 4 from Southwind.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM ESPN.
She is Jessica Benson. She joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. Catch her on Rise and Grind on Grind City Media. Let's do it.
Now, it's Jessica Benson from the Grizzlies Radio Network and Rise and Grind host on 92.9 FM ESPN's Jason and John Show.
JB, what's poppin'?
What's up? Welcome back.
It's good to be back. You know, it was a... It was a once in a lifetime thing, you know. Unless I do it again, which I might. It was that much fun. But I was grateful that you know, because it's true, you know. I mean, I don't feel like, you know, it's catching up a little bit. But in our culture, in our daily life, you know, dads are looked at a little differently, and I guess I can understand why. But you know, you got to have that time. It's important.
No, for sure. I think it's awesome. I think between like increased maternity leave and then the addition of paternity leave, and for the parents to have that time together, I'm sure your wife greatly appreciated mm-hmm. it as well, because maybe she could sleep a little bit more than in a situation where you're rushed right back to work. But, yep. You know, you pulled it on daddy duty. So welcome back.
That's right. Yeah, it's good to be back. Okay, so we know you cannot necessarily talk about free agency. I have promised our audience that you will talk about other agencies, so we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But first things first, the Grizzlies draft. What did you make of it? And I know a lot of times it's all sort of theoretical, because the Grizzlies are not on some immediate win now timeline. So it's all about not necessarily now, but what it could be. So what did you make of what the Grizzlies did in the draft and who they ended up with?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately going into that night, you're looking at this Grizzlies team as obviously someone who can fit with John Morant, with Jaren Jackson Jr., really be that number three. And in that, you want to find a switchable, longer wing, a bucket getter. 3-and-D is obviously always the hot term to throw around with draft picks. And you ultimately get that in Zaire Williams. And I think for a lot of fans, there was a bit of a surprise, because you start to get so familiar with certain names, and certain names become popular amongst draft Twitter, and specifically Grizzlies draft Twitter is always very much involved. And so when you have a situation with both Book Knight and Moses Moody on the board there at 10, you're thinking, wow, like the Grizzlies have a choice to make between these two. And then you get a name that comes out of left field that comes out of left field in the moment, but ultimately this is somebody who Zach Kleiman has had his eyes on since high school for a very long time, back when Zaire played at Sierra Canyon in California. This, everyone knows at this point, when it comes to his freshman season at Stanford, it was underwhelming. There's no other way to put it. You do put the stipulations of the fact that Stanford dealt with greater COVID issues than a lot of other schools, even in the country, and that they couldn't be on their campus. And you have, he dealt with, you know, some kind of ticky-tacky injuries. He had a death in his family. But when you look at his athleticism and ultimately his ability to create as a long wing, someone who can be dangerous in transition, and a super smart player too, who just loves basketball, I think the ceiling is really high. And you get into this hypothetical, if he hits, but by all means, this is the best time, because you can imagine him hitting and you can imagine exactly how he could be so impactful for this Grizzlies team down the line. And then you ultimately get two first round picks, because you get Santi Aldama, who, again, a bit of a surprise of a name for the Grizzlies to trade up and take him at 30. And unless you were like a big fan of Loyola Maryland, which if you were, all the power to you, but you got to watch him average 21-10 last season, put up fantasy-like league numbers in the Patriot League. But again, somebody who offers a lot of excitement and promise for the Grizzlies ultimately moving on down the line.
So with the Grizzlies having shown us they've clearly got an eye toward the future, you make that trade of JV, and we hadn't talked to you since then. With them showing us that, have your expectations, Jessica, you know, shipping out JV, and obviously we know how productive a player he was, and yes, that you're adding some young guys with some upside, but as Kleiman said, it's going to take time. How have your expectations for next season changed since that trade, since moving up? Have they?
I will always never count out this Grizzlies team, right? Because when we changed our expectations going into last year, what did they do? They ultimately win their
That's
way
smart.
Through the play-in tournament,
yep.
And they end up in the first round of the playoffs. And when you have a leader like John Morant, John Morant doesn't want to take a year off from the playoffs. He's going to approach this season trying to get this team right back in there. That said, yes, you do lose value with Jonas Valanciunas. And while it plays out in the long run for this team, and perhaps we start to see, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. flexing a little bit more at the five, is that a long-term goal for him? It could be a feel-it-out kind of season, and as Zaire Williams has to have that time, we keep hearing the word, give him time to develop, put him in the system to develop, I think you have cautious expectations. But then again, you know, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Grizzlies come out and blow all of our expectations out of the water.
So, like, in practice, right, I mean, that all sounds great. And I think most people understand, right, that
right.
You know, everybody, you know, this is a long-term project.
Mm-hmm.
But in practice, you know, they hosted two playoff games last year. And
yeah.
You get a taste of that, right? If it doesn't come back next season, you know, there is going to be this sort of natural disappointment. Now, again, were they supposed to have two playoff games last year? Absolutely not. I mean, I think they, like you said, they blew out the. But how will that sort of be perceived if next season they don't make the playoffs and they don't get in the play-in? Like, how is that going to? And it's just perception. It's not like it has any kind of impact
right.
on the franchise at large or the goals that are in mind. But how will that be sort of perceived?
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like, fans from every sport in every city in this country, you get a taste of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Anything below that a following season is going to feel like a letdown. And that's where, if you're the front office, if you're Taylor Jenkins, you have to sit back and you really have to practice patience and kind of tune out that noise. If it does start to trend in a direction where you aren't achieving playoff status 2 years in a row, it's going to be tough to swallow from a fan perspective. But I think this front office truly believes in the long-term picture. They obviously believe in the long-term picture. And so when they make choices like they just did to trade up and to take Zaire Williams at 10, like we said, when they made that trade, there was somebody there that they wanted to get. We have seen from this front office, you know, for the last 3 years now, when there is a player that they want, they will find a way to get up and get them. And so you put that long-term belief in a player like Zaire Williams. And I hate the phrase, but we always go back to it. You just got to trust the process, and that's where you have to start.
I guess, Jessica, and you never know with these things, but if you like you said, you moved up to 10 to go get him, and you're not hoping to get a role player here. You're taking a swing. For you, ideally, I know Kleiman's preaching patience, and they're going to need that, but ideally, how quickly should he be in a starting lineup, you know, or you know, maybe that's too soon, but a rotation to be a contributing player and a guy that needs to be showing maybe not just a flash here and there, but more of that pretty early, having spent such a high pick on him. How soon's it got to happen? I know we're supposed to have patience, Jessica, but how soon do you want to see him in that starting lineup?
I think if you're truly practicing patience, you look at him as a project in maybe year one and year two, and ultimately that ceiling becomes higher going into year three. But then even listening to him in his opening press conference here in Memphis last Friday, he says he's in the gym 6 hours a day and upping his caloric intake. And again, if he can put on weight and get stronger, that's huge in helping him achieve his potential a lot sooner. 6'9", 6'10", wingspan, put some weight on him. Suddenly he looks like an NBA player, and maybe you're talking about him moving into that rotation a little bit sooner rather than later.
We are, of course, talking to Jessica Benson, Grind City Media, catcher on Rise and Grind every morning on Grind City Media. Want to get your thoughts on the landscape in college football because, you know, look, I know we've talked about it before, but, you know, your dad once upon a time was one of the great power brokers in college football. It was the WAC, right? Commissioner of the WAC?
Yes, sir.
So he was
Western
always
Western Athletic Conference.
He was always at the forefront of conference realignment there in the WAC. As you're sort of looking out into the world today as we know it, is this going to be a good thing for college football? Is this going to be a bad thing for college football? Like, what's the crystal ball tell you about the future of college football?
Well, I will say that it's much more fun for me now to look at the landscape of college football and get to just truly embrace the chaotic energy, because when you're a part of it and when it's your family, you know, my dad retired from the Sun Belt Conference a little over 2 years now, and if he was sitting there as commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference right now, it would be concerning, frankly, when you look at the Group of Five conferences and what the SEC's decision to add Oklahoma and Texas could ultimately mean for just a complete and total shakeup. You know, do we get to a situation where Greg Sankey and the SEC are creating not just a 16-team conference, but a little super league that exists outside of the NCAA? The NCAA is weaker than it's ever been before. Do they capitalize and create something new? There's so much instability right now. I just saw that Bob Bowlsby, the Big 12 commissioner, is meeting with Klebkov, the new Pac-12 commissioner, this afternoon, reportedly, to talk about anything from potential scheduling that the two conferences could do to a merger. So we're at this place where the other conferences are just fighting to figure out what the landscape is even going to look like. Meanwhile, the SEC is like, we're cool. We set the stage. We're here. We're ready to go.
If you're that remaining eight in the Big 12, how attractive, right? I mean, and you want to get everything you can, but that idea of a merger with the AAC, you like it, Jessica?
If I'm West Virginia, I'm stressed, and I am really preaching any kind of merger that it can be. It just feels like West Virginia just sits away from the rest of those leftover eight. But I think if you're the leftover eight, if you are the Big Ten, the Pac-12, listen, I'm a Pac-12 kid through and through growing up on the West Coast, and I'm concerned about the future of the Pac-12. And if you're a USC or a Washington or an Oregon, like, what proactive conversations are you having right now to make sure that you have a place when all this is said and done and the dust settles and we have whatever this is ultimately going to look like? But yeah, I'm trying to merge. I'm trying to figure out, you know, we've heard the reports of the American Athletic Conference potentially having these conversations with ESPN, trying to maybe bring a couple of those eight teams in, maybe all of those eight teams in. If you're the American, certainly that's what you're working for. You've already been trying to set this tone that you are part of the Power Six. And, you know, as much as sometimes I chuckle at the Power Six notion, it has at least elevated that conference into top tier of the Group of Five. So you're even having a conversation where perhaps schools would be interested in joining the American. And if you're Memphis, that would be the best case scenario right now.
Jessica, great stuff as always. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yep, she is Jessica Benson, catcher on Rise and Grind, Grind City Media. And look, I mean, we're kind of in a holder pattern right now in terms of, you know, those next steps, because I think people are trying to figure out. I did find it just rich yesterday, because, like, you, whether it's Mac Rose or, you know, like you said, these eight schools, like, they are starting to figure out, it's sinking in, mm-hmm, that, oh my God,
I'm not going to be able to just be on the gravy train anymore. I'm not going to be able to ride the coattails of Texas and Oklahoma anymore, and I'm not going to get $35 million per after 2025. Oh, yeah, it's going
to
hurt.
You're going to have to work.
It's going to hurt. Oh, you ain't getting $35 million per. It ain't happening.
No. You're going to have to work now. It's not just all going to handed to you in that 100%. That check that you can do anything with.
Yes.
Anything you want to makes it so
anything.
Easy. You're going to be more like a Memphis and many others that have had to work.
You're going to figure it out. You're going to figure out what life is like on that other side, right? I mean, like the quote was just so perfect. It was from Mac Rhodes yesterday, and he said, if we are no longer a member of a Power 5 conference, we will sell less tickets, we will sell less merchandise, we will raise less money. Well, welcome to the real world, Mac. Right. It's the way it goes for a lot of schools, for the majority of schools in Division I. This is life, all right? And I think it's gonna show them a lot about how a school like Memphis can survive. I think he'll find a new respect, you know, for places like Memphis and Cincinnati and Houston and et cetera, because they do make it work. You know, he's scared as hell. He's scared as hell to see the other side.
I hope he is scared. I hope he looks at his options and decides that, you know what, best thing for us, we're not going to get it all back, but the best thing for us going to be play ball here with ESPN, dissolve this thing as quickly as we can, and go get something else over with the AAC. I mean, that to me seems like, you know, your best move at this point. But we'll let him figure it out some more. Let him common sense hit him in the face a little bit more.
Yep.
I think maybe that's your best way to it. Rather than trying to convince him yourself, let him see.
Yep.
Let him see what's on the other side by themselves.
We could not talk about free agency with Jessica Benson, but we will talk about free agency here when we come back. D. Rose got a new deal. Get into that. Your Chicago Bulls making a furious
campaign
push
got paid
for sixth. Yes. So we will get into all of that on the show. Also, look, we've been talking about the NIL. I'm going to tell you how Memphis is taking advantage of that, not just for Jonathan Loss, but also Lester Quinones and some others. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Stick around. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's nice to be back. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, it's my second day back, and I was just, I was greeted with the warmest plate from Topps Barbecue.
Mm. From the Vice President and CEO, no less.
Randy and Hunter stopped by with just a welcome back gift.
Mm. Brisket sandwich, got the slaw on it, the beans.
How good is that brisket?
It is perfect. So good, I want to stop talking, Brad, and let you guys carry it through the rest of this little short segment here.
Man.
Little lead. No, it smells so good in here now, thanks to the folks over at Topps. We tell you that, three times a week?
Yeah.
It's the best in the biz. Has been the same since 52. I'm sitting here looking at it right now, brother. Mm. I'm starting to sweat.
It tells you a lot about the business, doesn't it, when the VP and the CEO are doing the food drops. You know, they're grit and grind over there at Topps Barbecue,
they're
brother.
Working.
Roll your sleeves up, man.
We are thankful and grateful for it and our partnership with them. They've been nothing but kind to us, and clearly when they're coming here and dropping this food on us,
yep.
My goodness, we're the lucky ones.
Yes, indeed. So anyway, thanks to Topps Barbecue for coming through and doing that for us.
We put the new studio banner behind
you.
Yeah, I like it.
There's so many new digs in here. We got the Topps Barbecue banner, and then we got some garbage on the other side of the
Cardinals. Yeah, he put that St. Louis Cardinals thing up. I don't know what he was thinking.
Topps are Cardinals fans, I think.
Let's just cover the Cardinals thing up with another Topps banner.
I think you just
banner.
Completely made that up.
I did.
I mean, you're trying to justify this garbage.
It's very good. But the Topps, we got a brand new studio wall.
Are y'all above 500? Because if you're not above 500, this needs to come down.
Today we are, but we didn't play yesterday, so it
helped. So what are you, one game above 500?
At least we ain't selling the whole daggum team like Jay Smooth over here.
Yeah.
Well, at least he knows who he is.
They do know who they are.
Which is pathetic.
Topps is the food of champions, and I don't think they'd appreciate it.
I'm sorry.
I mean, where did you get this, Brad?
A scrub organization.
Do we carry it on 790?
Yeah, it was 790, our sister station, 790 AM.
Can we put that in the 790 studio?
We share it. This is all a big team here, John. You got to play together.
I'm not on this team. I'm not on the Cardinals team.
They don't give paternity leave on 790, by the way. So,
That's right.
You know, you're lucky.
Yes. I will say, during the paternity leave, we haven't talked about this yet. Uh-oh. I think, Jason, you may know this a little bit. I got into baseball. Very slyly.
Gambling, I bet.
Well, of course.
Yeah, Why else would he venture in?
Did you have luck with gambling on baseball?
I did. I wasn't, like, killing it, but I was above 500, unlike your Cardinals. You know, which is good. I don't know anything about baseball.
One game,
would you say it's easier to do than NBA?
No.
Which we've both agreed.
Baseball is very difficult as well.
More difficult than NBA?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.